Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show. It's great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. This is the Dr. Pat Show. And those of you that have been listening at this time spot forever, I told you we'd still be here. But you also heard us at 7 a.m. this morning. So we're going through a lot of incredible transitions here ourselves, as well as the show and the network. But I want to take I want to take a line out of the voice of my very special guest today, Judith Wilkins-Smith. How big are you willing to be? I want to take that line right out of her website. I just want to pull it out and I want to say, how big are you willing to be? Because this is really now. You heard me this morning, and Jacob, you heard me this morning, right? We were talking about, are you playing to win or are you playing not to lose? Now, I'm going to say it again. Are you playing to win? Are you playing not to lose? Very different energies. But we so often don't realize when we are selecting this other one, playing not to lose. But we think we're moving ahead in that winning energy. And I love the word winning. A lot of people don't like the word winning. I like it. I like that Charlie Sheen brought that word to life. Because it is that thing, if you pull the competition part out of this and if you pull out the bad press that that word has gotten, and you look at what that means in your heart, when you think about what that means energetically, when you think about what it feels like to be in that energy of that, then the word takes on a whole different meaning. So today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at what does it mean to decode your emotional blueprint. Now, my very special guest today, this is a lifetime of work. This is stepping out, being who exactly you are, want to be, how to be. And when you think about what she has done over time, whether it's organizations, individuals, family partners, it doesn't matter. You know, you're looking at someone that looks at the piece parts as they come together and how the dots are connected. In the world of organizational development and behavior, that's called systems approach. In living life full out, you could call it what you want, but the bottom line to this is, if you are somebody that is passionate about your life, like she is, if you are about visionary leadership, positive, accelerated, global change, if you are that person that understands the critical dynamics in personal change and development, and for us, we've had to learn it, because our network is called the Transformation Network. And when you push yourself in a direction and call yourselves that, fasten your seatbelt, because you have to learn what she's teaching us today. You have to learn decoding your emotional blueprint. You have to understand what that means, why it's important, and how that gets you to feel like you can unleash, unchain your potential and level up and get out there and be big. So get ready for today's show, everybody. This is for you. If you're thinking, don't know if I can play big anymore, Pat, Judy, don't know. I think I've been just kind of hanging out. I think I'm just going to be right here with, you know, like the person I've been in the last couple of years. Judy Wilkins-Smith is joining me here today, and we've got a different narrative. Judy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pat. It's lovely to be with you. I'm looking forward to it.
I did a show this morning. Okay. I did a show this morning. It was my first 7 a.m. show. I've changed time slots on one of my flagship stations. But this morning I was really struck by Taylor Swift. And so this morning I did a show on winning or playing not to lose. And the reason I did that is because Taylor Swift has taken more criticism than any pop star that I know of in our time. Probably has taken more criticism than most. You know, some have taken a lot of criticism. I mean, Madonna did early on, but there's something about this young woman now, record-breaking three top Video of the Year awards. It's record-breaking to get that. And as she was doing it, this is what I love about what we're talking about. As she was doing it, she announces, and I'm getting ready to drop my new album at midnight. I'll tell you what it is. So here she is. She's got the award. She didn't know she was going to get the award, but she has already planned
the
next big thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And good for her. You know, when people are getting criticized, they're doing something right. It's that simple. Somebody said to me today, I'm going to get criticized. I said, good. That means the box is too small and off you go. Now, does that always mean that it's going to be easy? No. But if you get over needing everybody else's approval and you love the life that you're living and it's a good life and you're making a difference and you are making your own difference for yourself, which, by the way, is number one. People always say that's selfish. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. You're doing a good job. If you're making a difference to yourself, it's super important. When your cup is full, the first thing you want to do is share. When you have an empty cup, there's not a lot to share. So fill your own cup up. And besides which, if we're looking at some of the examples in the world out there, I would rather be looking at a Taylor Swift than some of the other stuff I'm seeing. She really is in it to win it. She's pushing the envelope. I love when people push the envelope. That how big are you willing to be is the question I ask all my clients. And I have people who say to me, isn't that egotistical? And I go, no. The first day that you agree to be the biggest version of yourself is the humblest day of your life. It's the first day that you truly agree to be responsible for growing an incredible life. And now you're in service of the universe. Let's go.
And you know what I love about this is, let's talk about this, your emotional blueprint. This is what I love about this. Recently, I've been talking a little bit, and I've been sharing this information with the listeners about a couple of discoveries in my family. I come from a family of secrets, and they're shocking. And so when you discover them, because we now live in the world, the digital world, right, Judy?
Oh, yeah.
We're now in the digital world. So past generations that had these secrets, like where your grandfather was born, what your family, those are no longer secrets anymore. And when you have emails coming from Brazil and Peru, and there are people with your last name, and they're right. saying, are you my familia? And you're like, no. And then you, and then the good news for me is it happened when my uncle was still alive. And I got half of the truth. And so today we're talking about this powerful guide to transformation through disentangling multi-generational patterns. Let's start with what that is. Because this morning on the show, I had to talk a little bit. I had to explain the difference between winning and playing not to lose. And I gave a very good example of a sport that I participate in and how I was 7 points away from the national team.
Wow.
And somebody said something to me on the sidelines when I went to get water. They told me who I was playing. They told me how good she was. They told me I should never be beating her 2-1. Now, I will tell you that I probably heard my dad, my mom, my...
The whole lot came out to play. They all went, here we are. Yeah.
But let's explain to people what this means before we get into your emotional blueprint, because I don't think we give this enough press.
Okay. No, we don't, because this is really the key to everything, your life, how you live it, everything. So we know we inherit physical DNA. What we don't always realize is that we also inherit emotional DNA. That's your patterns of thoughts, feelings, actions, inactions, decisions, mindset, all of that. We inherit it. Then we tell ourselves we have free will, not so fast. Because unless you know what lives in your system, you have no idea what you're mimicking and repeating. So no, you don't have free will. Now, a lot of people say to me, but I don't know what lives in my system. Yes, you do. Go and timeline your own life and have a look at the patterns. Have a look at the patterns of thoughts, feelings, actions, and you're going to know that came from somewhere and you don't exist in a vacuum. So it comes from further back, or you're beginning new emotional DNA, and in really high stress or significant moments, you want to watch the decisions, the thoughts, and the feelings you're having right then, because that's about to become your new truth. But the fact of it is, 90% of the time, we are living somebody else's ancient past, and it's a very predictable future. But the minute we change it with one new thought, one new feeling, one new action, now your predictable future is no longer your predictable future, and everything changes. And you may have been weighed down or limited by a dreadful secret or a terrible pattern for 6 or 7 generations. It can take you an hour and a half to have that initial insight and go, oh my goodness, and you've suddenly undone generations of suffering, limitation, and now it's up for grabs, because now you're going to write the chapter that only you can write.
Well, here's the thing that's happening is the minute you open your book, and I love this. Thank you. I want to thank you for this, because many books do not do this. The minute you open the book, you hit us, I think, on page 2 or 3 with an emotional blueprint map. And I looked at this and I thought, she's talking about my dad right there. And grandfather, oh, wait a minute. Oh, and I went through this and I said, I got to praise you for putting this on page 3. Do you know, I think it's 2 or 3. So I apologize if I got the wrong page.
It's one of those.
It's in the front.
Right.
The point is, many books you read will not show you this until you're halfway through or towards the end. But you showed us up front the systemic and systematic connecting points between, may I use what I said this morning, winning or playing not to lose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're exactly right. Because the playing not to lose means I'm going to stay in the systemic trance. I'm going to repeat all of those patterns. I may give it the teeniest flavor, but we're basically going to stay the same. But if you want to win, you've got to do what we call going into almost bad conscience. You've got to say to the system, I see it. This isn't working for me right now. Something has to change. And the minute you have clear intent to change, and the minute you have clear commitment to change, the entire game of life changes. And life is an amazing game. It's not just something that you happened upon or stumbled into. It was given to you to blow it up as big as you want.
You know, I want to ask you this question. It's a question I've been asking since I've been doing the show. And it started with how I got to do the show and where I was in my life. You know, on paper, I should have been the happiest person on the planet. And I wasn't. I was in a life's path that somebody else really thought I should have. And I should have taken my big fat degree and gotten big fat paying consulting job. I can still do that now. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to study, and I didn't want to go into organizations to talk about the consequences of broken promises anymore. That is a playing not to win scenario.
That's a real, and we do a lot of playing not to lose.
A lot. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you this question, because as I'm reading your book and just learning about a little bit about you, my sense is that you've had to overcome your own challenges, obstacles. You've had to move beyond some things. Otherwise, you couldn't be talking about this. Have you had to do that?
I probably had a couple to move through, yes. Indeed. I actually will tell you that I am very blessed. I grew up with a mother and father where I never had to wonder if I was loved, ever. I never felt unsafe. I never felt uncared for. So life saved that up for a little bit later on in the game and then went bump. And I have to say that it's one of the reasons that I teach this work the way that I do. In every single bump or bruise, there's always a gift. And you can either sit and be a victim, and you can sit and be sad and miserable, and there are really good reasons to be that way. Or you can look at it and go, okay, so what gift is this that I can use now? How do I take this and do something absolutely incredible with it? And I think, again, both my mother and father taught me very early on to, as I say to my clients, quit whining, start shining, you know. And so that was helpful. But yes, I absolutely have. I would say one of the things that was interesting for me was breaking that whole thing of I thought, because everybody in my family had it, I'd have the fabulous guy with a fabulous life. And you know what? Him walking away and not being there was the best thing that could ever have happened to me. Him not being the dad I grew up with, who was so hands-on and always there and had things, I had to learn to become capable. And I had to move past this idea of somebody else will take care of it. Instead, that became mine. And if I hadn't have had that, I always say when my father was killed, it was awful. But he gave me a final gift, which was, if you don't do something, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so it was okay, get up and do something. And I'm so grateful to him for that. He'd had that as a kid, I hadn't. But they'd given me enough to where I could say, let's go do this. And that doesn't mean it was easy. I had plenty of moments in the bathtub with the tears running going, I'm never going to get this done. But it really was, do you want to sink or do you want to swim? Do you want to be a victim or do you want to actually get out there and do something? And I think when I realized I could and I was going to, and I committed to it with no plan B. It's lovely when you have no plan B. It's either called jump on the cliff and fly or you're about to hit the bottom. It's great. And yeah.
And that's why I had to ask you the question, because, see, a lot of what happens is that we sit and we look at, people look and see us today. Mm-hmm. And I, for 10 years doing the show, I didn't share hardly anything personal.
Right.
I didn't share anything. Right. I didn't talk about the debilitating illness I got 6 months after I started. I didn't talk about it because I grew up very private, very
exactly.
secretive. And then out of your book, you're coming out of the gate, and thank you. I don't want to get real academic on this, but, you know, both of us have organizational backgrounds, let's say,
right.
or we have experience. And so the greatest discovery I made was in what we called system thinking,
right,
or systems approach, or whatever right. you want to call it. And I found it hard to really convert that to people to say, you can use this in your life, but that's what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. For me, that is the crux of all of it. This work is transformation work. And I say in the book, transformation is not for the chosen few. It's for those who choose it. It's open to everybody. There is literally nobody, it doesn't matter where you are in your life or how big of a train wreck you think you are, there is nobody who cannot change their life around and have an absolutely incredible and remarkable life. There is nobody.
And, you know, let's add on to this. And, you know, I know it's not popular in organizations yet. In some organizations it is. But I want to talk about this because you're talking about decoding your emotional blueprint today. For those of you that are just tuning in, I want to make sure you can give us a shout, 1-800-930-2819. Say hi to Jacob. If you want to call in, you have a question about this, because we are fascinated with our ancestry. We're
Absolutely.
Talking about that. But how fascinated are you when you discover something in your ancestry that perhaps you didn't know? And what if you're only looking at your ancestral map and not really going underneath the layer? What happens if you don't look at the layer that says, why did they keep my mom's dad, my grandfather, why did they keep the fact that he was born in Brazil a secret? See, why did we think he came from Italy?
Exactly.
And he didn't look like he came from Italy. Neither did my mom. Neither did my aunt with her dark, dark hair and piercing blue eyes. Why weren't we talking about the fact that the man was a farmer in Brazil and they changed the letter on the last name, his last name, from an S to an A? Why was that a secret? But yet, myself and my sister, we grew up liking Latin music. I mean, what's up with this stuff, right? So let's talk about this. There are pros and cons to the whole ancestry development, correct?
I can't think of one con, so help me. I think the pros are just amazing.
I think the pros are amazing. The con is when you as an individual stop and you don't understand and you don't take the time to understand.
Yeah, that's not a con. It's kind of a deferred pro because it's somewhere.
Okay, what'd you call it?
A deferred pro.
There you go. I like deferred pro.
Yeah, at some point it's going to come there. And if it doesn't hit you, it's going to hit your kids. And the piece with that is to never see it as something terrible. I mean, I heard you say earlier, I had some shocking secrets. I love those the best because they contain this whole map of language and thoughts and feelings. And when you start to decode those, you go, oh, that's why I think this or feel that or do this. All they are clues to your treasure map. So, you know, there are no cons to genealogy. It is an ultimate map to success.
Isn't it phenomenal, though? I mean, isn't it phenomenal? And you know, part of this, too, is understanding the patterns of things, you know, and what you take us through in the book, in my opinion, if I might say, and then I want you to jump in, is you do a beautiful job of explaining systems and natural orders. And I think it's so important to do that, right? But then you introduce us to 3D.
Yeah, I love 3D.
I got to have you talk about the 3D because it's almost like I want to get my virtual, glasses on for this.
Which is literally what you have. Okay, so let me talk to you about 3D.
Yes.
3D constellations, okay? Thank you, Bert Hellinger, for giving us a term that makes everybody think that we're astrologers until we explain it better. But so what 3D is and what a constellation is think about this for a moment. If you watch somebody on the TV and they're being injured, really badly hurt, what do? And if you see somebody like on The Voice or Idol or whatever it is, and they have that breakthrough moment and you've got goosebumps and you've got the tears, what are you doing? You're sensing into their system. So we're very capable of doing that. So that's the first thing you need to know. So 3D. You come to me with an issue, we sit down, I take a history, and then we pick out who the relevant parts are of that system, that issue. So who belongs in this issue? Perhaps it's mom, dad, sister, brother, you. And then what I say to you is, okay, Pat, I want you to give me a picture of what that looks like. Place them in the room for me. And usually what I'll do is I'll use live representatives. So at a live event, I get to use all of these lovely live representatives and you place them for me. And then what I say to you is, that's interesting. Let's stand back and have a look. Do you notice how far away dad is and he's looking off into the distance? What's that? And you'll tell me, well, maybe dad never came back from war. He was never the same. And I may then put another representative in to either represent war where he's looking or the ones that were lost. So tell me about mom and the kids. Well, we're kind of close. Yeah, but you seem to be between everything. You seem to be like piggy in the middle of everything. What's that about? Well, yeah, I'm kind of make sure that everybody's okay and rocking and rolling. That's me. I make sure that they're fine. How is that for you? It's good. When is it a burden for you? Yeah, sometimes it feels heavy. So we start to have those conversations and you say to me, well, I struggle to be happy. I should be, but I'm not. Okay. Who else in your family wasn't happy? Who struggled? What was the event that caused that sudden unhappiness? Now we know you've tuned into an event. But even better, the people representing those different parts of your system have already tuned into your system too. And what happens is I may say to them, tell me what's happening for you. I'm feeling angry. What's going on? My back hurts. And you will be amazed at how accurate the information is. I have people who go, it's not possible. How? That's how. So what we do is you literally stand in your issue in 3D. We walk you through it and ask you questions and we discover what it is that's been holding you back. And usually it's a sentence or a movement. So now I use that sentence and say it back to you. And you go, oh, my goodness, I know where that comes from. Oh my goodness, I know why I'm feeling this way. Well, do you want to stay that way? Or are you ready to say to the system, watch me, it's time for me to change. I know there's been unhappiness in the family for a long time. I'm the joy bringer. Yeah. Boom. One new thought. Now you're starting to rewire and your body's starting to get goosebumps. And sometimes people will shake and sometimes they're very quiet. And they'll say to me, wait, I can't think the same as I was thinking. And my body feels different. And you're literally having a multisensorial, because you're seeing it, hearing it, touching it. You're having a multisensory embodied experience right in the moment. And we know that those are the powerful ahas. And once that hits for you, it starts to rewire very fast and it will continue to rewire. So you walk away with a completely changed mindset, body, attitude, and you keep rehearsing that and those feelings and those actions. You're now wiring in different neural pathways. So the old everybody's unhappy becomes, and I'm the joy bringer. Now everybody is joyful and you've just rerouted all of that emotional DNA. So those who come after you can do something different. But here's the other piece that's wonderful. Those who come before you, my father, the villain, oh, he had a really rough childhood. I get it. Suddenly becomes, oh, I got it, Dad. And suddenly he's not the villain anymore and I don't hate him. I have compassion. I have insight. It changes everything. So now you're changing the entire pattern.
Yeah, I love this because one of the things we're going to talk about when we come back from break is we're going to talk about how effective this is. And what I mean by that is, you know, there is, look, I studied psychology, so I'm going to say this with a lot of compassion and love. You know, there are ways that people can take to get at what you're talking about, but very few of them take a look at all the parts that are moving, all the parts that are involved, and do it in a systematic and systemic way. This is so brilliant for those of you out there. So when you read the book, that's just a small part of what's going on here, but in order for people to get the book and find out about you, let's get them over to your website. What's the best place for them to get the book and how do they find out more about you, Judy?
Sure. So the book they can find on any good book, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, any of those, Goodreads. And they can find me at judywilkins-smith.com. And when they go there, they will also find some constellations meditations, first in the world, created to take you directly through a full-on constellation.
So I got a question that we're going to address when we come back from one of our listeners. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's Joey. It's Joanne, though. Joey, I'm going to get this question. Yes, you did hear me talk about, at the beginning, in the front of the book, you heard me talk about the diagram that was there. And yes, I did mention that when it came to the father, it was around money. So that is a question you want us to take a look at. Maybe we'll even go back to that diagram, because as we move forward and we talk about emotional DNA, we're going to talk about patterns, emotional DNA, intentions, limited aspects of ourselves, and what to do about them. And if you have any debate that you want to have with me based on a statement I said this morning, and I mean it, every setback in my life has been a setup for something more amazing that I could have ever, ever, ever planned. When we come back, how does that fit in to this conversation? Let's take a short break, Jacob, if we could. We'll be
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method. consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrolling.com.
Courtney Cottrell is walking in her purpose, creating incredible tools to level up your life. Let's introduce you to the Unapologetically Favored Gift Shop, your one-stop shop for all Courtney's motivational books, custom created, inspirational gifts, and more. Products that remind you of your purpose on this planet, infused with the passion to uplift lives. Shop apparel, books, wall art, and more at shopfavored.net.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belts, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelts.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com. You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabelts.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What did you say?
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I just want to say thank you for tuning us in and turning us on. And I do have to give credit that opening song you hear for the Dr. Pat Show. For many years, you're right, we played Clocks by Coldplay. And we got flagged on Facebook, and I was asked to produce the document that allowed me to play it, which goes back to 2004, I could not. And so the song you now, I don't even have my emails from 2000. I don't know where that is. I got to be buried in storage. But the song you hear at the beginning, and the reason I want to mention it is it's important that you know that there have been so many people that have contributed to the success of this network. And that is Nick Johnson, who was with us at an intern, as an intern. And he and his team at the time wrote that song, and I'm forever grateful. We have incredibly talented producers here. Jacob is joining me here at the moment. You've heard others. But the reason we bring you what we bring, and the reason we've been doing it for so long, is somehow, in some way, I made a shift. Judy can explain it better than I can. Judy Wilkins Smith is joining me here today because the book is Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. Now, before you say anything, I want to make sure people, I don't know, is this an open event at Disney that they can come?
Absolutely. Can they come? Yes, it is. Okay. They can absolutely come. Yeah, it's November 10 through 13 at Disney World in Florida. Wow. And what I'm teaching for the 4 days is capability and resilience DNA. Because we went through a pandemic, a lot of us developed capabilities and adapted, but we didn't pay attention to what we were doing. And unless you consciously wire it in and know where your capability and resilience is and isn't, you're going to be like a farmer in the middle of a field he doesn't understand. You won't know what you're doing. But if you come in for the 4 days, it shows you where yours came from, how it affects you, what you can do with it, how you can transform it, and how it becomes really powerful in your world. So we take 4 days out of your life to invest 4 days into your life. And yes, park tickets are included. International Food and Wine Festival is on during that time, which is a great bonus. And you get to transform using soul magic deep in the heart of magic.
I'm telling you, I love it. And you know, the reason I love it is Disney was part of, look, I didn't have, growing up, I didn't have your typical Disney childhood. So I made a decision with my best friend, Linda, who's one of our producers. She actually booked this, that I was going to do this later in life. And, you know, for me, it was one of the most incredible experiences that I had ever had. To have something that you're putting on that's so powerful. Thank you for getting out there again. And by the way, thank you for talking about resilience. Because I actually talked about the difference between resilience and perseverance this morning. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
But I want to get to Joey. Joanne. Thank you, Joanne, for, I'll call you Joey because I know you like to call Joey. Thank you for your question. And I talked with Judy during the break about it. And we're going to get to that because her whole book is about this. And the body of work is exactly addressing your question. You're correct. I did mention the map in the front of the book, Judy, right?
Yep.
And it does say at the father level issues about money.
Yeah, it actually begins with a grandfather level where grandfather hadn't then lost. And he thought was, I'm dumb, basically. Father has it and goes, oh, I'm not good with money. Then my client says, I'm really not good with money and this is not working for me. I need to change that. But that thought has come all the way down. Notice the negative thoughts around money. And poor old money, by the way, is a metaphor. It is a friend. It is a mentor. It is a guide. It is a wonderful thing. It is not an or, it's an and. But yeah, so you have these money thoughts that have come from somewhere. And the best way to know for yourself is to sit down and say, okay, money, what are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What are my actions around money? And then where did that first start for me? What was happening in my life at the time? Followed by who else in the family has similar thoughts or similar experiences. And you'll see that you've got a pattern going. Now, you always have a pattern trying to stop and one trying to start. So you want to ask yourself, what's trying to stop and what is trying to start through me money-wise? How do I become friends with money? How do I talk to money? I kid you not, Pat, I send my clients on money walks and they look at me and they go, are you for real? And I'm like, you're going on a money walk. And they come back and after about a month's worth of that, they go, my money life has changed. I can't believe it. I work with Hong Kong bankers and top CFOs. And I tell them, you're going on a money walk. And they're like, yeah, right. Okay. And they come back and go, it works. It works. Money is a living, breathing entity. And the way you think and feel about it is the way that it will show up for you. That simple.
Okay. I got to ask you to tell people what the money walk is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the money walk.
Already, I'm starting to hear my little things start to tick. What's the money walk?
Oh, yeah. So the okay. money walk is this. I say to people, you want to go to a place that's really good for you, far away where people can't hear you, so you can talk out loud to money. And you're going to say to money, here's what I fear about you. Here's what I feel about you. This is what I think about you. This is what I've been taught about you. My biggest fear around you is, my biggest joy or desire around you is. And then you're slowly going to take all of those negative thoughts and feelings and just one at a time, tweak it the teeniest bit, just so that it's hinting at possibility. Just that little piece is enough to open the door. What if I weren't stupid with money? Well, what would I do about that? I might go and learn about money. What if what everybody's told me about love of money being the root of all evil isn't true? No, it's not true. Lust of money, maybe. Love of money suggests that you're a really good steward of money and you love what you've been given and what you're welcoming, and it really opens you up to abundance. So you want to have, when I first did that, and it's in the book, I had a 3-hour walk and I discovered I'd loved it all my life. It had just begun with things like little canna seeds. And then it had morphed into bottle tops and bottles that I could take in for money. And I knew that it was flow. And then I got to a point in life where I shut it down because other things were more important. Like it was either courage or money, or it was relationships or money, or it was happiness or money. Poor old money was trying so hard to play with me. It threw itself at me. And you'll see that it does that to people. It threw itself at me so hard, it couldn't come anywhere near me. And when I realized that, I thought, oh, my goodness, where do I think money comes from? Where do I think flow comes from? And I had a long cry. And on my walk home, I picked up all sorts of denominations of money, literally on the grass, on the floor, going, I can play with you if you let me. And so now money is a very good friend of mine, and I teach money DNA because it's so important.
So important. I'm so glad you brought it up because, you know, I shared with you during the break, you know, what happened to my dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, growing up, we don't understand what happened. You just see things change in your life.
Right.
But it's fascinating because now my association with money was kind of like yours, but it showed up differently. So let me tell you how it showed up.
Please.
I happened to have a kid. I grew up in the Bronx in New York. And I was neighbors to Joseph Maggio. And Joseph Maggio and my uncles used to hang out. And Joseph Maggio's dad had, what do I want to call it? Had a bar, but in the back room, gambling. So what Joseph did is in his garage. He had I'm telling you, I'm 8 or 9 years old here. Okay. And he in his garage, he had a roulette wheel and it was so fun because here I am, this kid, I don't know anything about money, but I had been treated so well early on in my life. So I didn't have disdain for it. It didn't hit me till 40 something when I lost my job that all of my, so here we would go play. I would go in there, I would get my little money and I would go play and I would win. Now this kid went nuts. He would go crazy. And I grew up to have this relationship. And when I was older, I had an older partner relationship, 8 years older than I was, and we would go to Yonkers Raceway. So I would go to Yonkers Raceway and I would take my little money and I would pick all the winners. Now, after a while, everybody's noticing this, that I cannot pick a loser, but I wasn't playing to win the money.
No, you weren't.
Okay. And I couldn't explain that to them. It changed the minute everybody came to me and wanted me to pick their horses.
Because they weren't playing for money either, but you were playing for something that allowed flow. They were playing for security, safety, do it because I'm desperate, and it picks that up.
It picks up the energy. And I wanted to talk to you about the energy of desperation.
Yeah, that's
not
lower
just
energy.
In money.
Yeah.
But understanding that in an emotional blueprint. And you mentioned coming out of COVID. That's why I'm so happy you're doing this thing, this workshop in Disney.
Oh, yeah.
I am so happy you're taking out the conversation of resilience, because we think that this 3 years, I'm going to make a generalization because I read a lot of statistics. People are having a sense that what has happened the past 3 years, they will never recover from.
Great.
Right. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, great. Okay. I'm glad. No, they're quite right. Here's the deal.
Good.
It's a little bit like a marriage. When something catastrophic happens, it's over. As it was. That's all.
Yep.
It's over as it was. But here's the deal. What they're not realizing is the opportunities are absolutely endless. You've got to quit looking at what you don't have and quit looking at where you're headed. And that's really important, because let me explain it this way. If I don't have, don't have, don't have, that's all I can draw in is I don't have, because I'm going to draw everything in that makes the truth I've created a reality. Now, you were asking me earlier, we were talking a little bit about manifesting things.
Yes.
Most of us manifest from lower emotions, anger, sadness, fear, stuckness, whatever you want to call it. That's common for us because we were raised that way. So we think that's the right way to do it. If you really want life to shift, you've got to shift to higher emotions. And that sounds all very nice and easy, but it's not so easy if you're sitting there. But here's the piece. To make the magic, I always say to people, do you watch horror movies? And they go, no. And I go, yeah. But you tell yourself horror stories about yourself all day long, and you believe them, because your mind is telling your body a story that it believes, and the body feels it. If you want to migrate to the other, your mind has got to tell your body a story it can believe, not just here. The whole body has got to get it. The heart's got to open. The gut's got to be really awake and aware. And so what you do to achieve that is you start with gratitude, and you start with any happy thought you can find, and you begin to build on that, and you will feel in your body. It doesn't matter if it feels unrealistic. How is it more unrealistic than the rubbish you tell yourself on the other end? It's not.
Yeah.
But all you've got to do is teach your mind to tell your body the most incredible stories that give you the goosebumps that your body goes, yes. Because when that happens, you've just begun to create a new truth.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly easy to do. It is not rocket science, people. It's simply coming from a happier place. Now, in the book, you'll see we were born with a full language, but we only speak half. The language of suffering, struggle, because we're taught that suffering is sacred. And the other day on a TV show, somebody said to me, yes, but you know, suffering is sacred. And I looked at them and I said, no, suffering is stupid.
Yeah.
And they went, I said, that's what we were conditioned to believe. That is a very old pattern.
It really is. You know, I'll tell you what the good news was for me. My dad remarried a woman. He married my stepmom. My mom died when I was six. She committed suicide.
Okay.
She taught me how to love. Everything, my compassion for the world came from her. My stepmom taught me everything else. And this is a woman that my dad married when he had a lot of money. She had her first child at 12, a second one at 13. She was almost the same age as my sister, who's 12 years older than me. And she didn't know what she signed up for. But I will tell you this. You would never know it. What she taught us and what she taught me. And I was a train wreck. I mean, honestly, I was a train wreck. I was a kid that was spoiled. I wasn't taught how to brush my teeth. I mean, I could go on. But in your book, there is so much in here that I so connected with. Because what you just said right there, she is the one that taught me optimism. It is her that I owe founding this network, the Transformation Network, Transformation Talk Radio, and we're going to go to 10 channels by the end of next year. It
Fantastic.
Is her that I contribute it to. And people say, why, Pat? How? What did she do? Now I'm going to tell them to go see Judy, because Judy just explained it.
So here's something. You ready for this?
You know, I don't know how to answer that question when people ask me.
You know how elegant the universe is? So I have an adopted daughter. I'm a stepmom. Her mother died when she was four. I don't know about your stepmom, but I do know that I couldn't love that daughter more if she were my biological kid. In fact, yeah. She said to me, she knew that she was mine the day I said to her, now look, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And she said, well, technically, and I said to her, do not get technical at this point. But I'll tell you the magic. It wasn't about me and it wasn't about your stepmom.
Yeah.
My daughter could have been miserable, sad, and depressed. So could you. Both of you looked at what was going on and went, I can use this. At some level, you went, I can use this, and I can grow love here, and I can do. And that's, I mean, my daughter is one incredible human being. She's a physician in Dallas. People love her. She said, Mom, it's not always about bloodline. Sometimes,
sometimes
it's about the family you create. But I will tell you that her mom is very much around. She kind of pops up at odd moments and we're very aware of her. And I think the other thing is that I never had a need to exclude bio mom. I was actually a friend of hers and I knew I'd been given an incredible gift. So I would say you and my daughter, instead of choosing to die, you chose to live.
Yeah. I think in your book, there's one thing that I picked up on that really, I don't know if it explained it properly for me, Judy, but, you know, when I got to the point about the pivot, you know, when I got to the point about transforming your issue, it took me time to transform some of the things that I grew up with. And it was pivotal moments. I mean, I could spend an hour telling you what happened when my two stepsisters told my stepmom at my dad's funeral that all of the things I was punished for, in my childhood, they set up and did. My stepmom was horrified. And my sister Joyce, after having one too many drinks, was saying, yeah, remember the time you found all those beer cans and you punished Pat? And my stepmom was horrified. She just cried. Now, when she passed, two things happened. When my dad passed, she handed me letters from my mom that my dad was going to throw away, and she got. The second thing she did is she wrote a letter. And you see, I was able to repair things, but I didn't have a way to explain it the way you did, nor did I have the tools. But what you're doing is you're helping people in a very beautiful way understand what their issues are, look at their issues, transform their issues, transform their lives. And I'm simplifying what you do. And folks, you'll have to get the book to understand where I'm pulling this from.
They're also understanding that ultimately their issues tend to be their life's purpose.
Exactly. I mean, right? And look, I'm a kid that stuttered most of my teenage years. I have learning, what used to be called learning disabilities. They're learning different.
Absolutely.
I couldn't take a GRE exam, but it didn't matter. Once I fat passed the first year of statistics, my what you call disability to see imagery created different things. And you talk about
superpower.
Superpower. In the last few minutes we have left, I would love for people to hear from you because it's so beautifully done in the book. Getting into the heart of the hidden language, but also really shining a light on those gifts that we perhaps thought were not.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is probably the crux of everything in life. You know, when people come and see me at a live event and they say, I've had a terrible life, I go, congratulations, you're very lucky. And they go, what? And I go, you've got all the fertile ground you need to want to change this into something remarkable. Aren't you lucky you didn't get complacent like the rest of us? Now, the other thing they say is, well, I don't know if I could do that. You know, I've got a particular mindset. And I say, are you telling me you have a closed mind? Well, maybe. No, you don't. You have a closed heart. Something gave you a fright and your heart closed. And the minute your heart closes, your brain migrates from creative to reactive. It goes to that part of your brain. And then your stomach goes, and it starts to really tighten. Now, when you can open, the minute you open your heart, and that's not difficult to do. It's literally, are there kittens and puppies or whatever it is? But the minute you open your heart, your creative brain switches on and it goes, ooh, we could play here. And it starts looking for all the things that it could use to do something different. And the final piece is when your gut goes, oh, this is so exciting. It now transforms from that ouchy stomach into this beautiful inner compass. And it is a very strong inner compass. And it will guide you all the way home.
Yeah, I want to stay with this for a minute because this is so important. You know, I was talking the other day and I'm starting to be interviewed more and more because we're starting to make some announcements. And people always are shocked when they hear how long the show's been, their 20-year show. We've been, you know, out there doing things about this and the network. But what I love about what you just said is that I wish that at some point in time, everyone understood what you just said. I wish if I had the genie that pops out of the bottle.
Right.
But yet I know the benefit of having to go through all the bumps in the road.
Yeah, you know what? You can go through bumps in the road with your glasses on, though.
Yes.
It makes a bit of a difference. It's really helpful.
It is helpful. I mean, even if you know you're coming up on a pothole, you also know that you're going to hit the pothole. You see it because you made a choice not to go off the cliff instead.
Exactly. Sometimes potholes are friends.
Exactly. Look, I want to thank you so much for today. I want to thank you for joining me. Please take a minute, if you could, Judy, and let everyone know how they can find out more about you, how they get a copy of the book, and also a little bit more. They can really go to your website about the Disney event, can't they?
They can go to my website. It's judywilkins-smith.com. They'll find everything they need to know about how to register for the Disney event. My book, Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, Goodreads. I know Goodreads has made it their must-read of the summer, and Publishers Weekly has also done something similar. They can also find me in Psychology Today because it's featured there. But yeah, you'll find me on my website, and if they need to get a hold of me, I'm pretty accessible.
I love it. Look, I want to ask you this last thing. We've talked about a lot, and there's a lot in the book, much more in the book and the work you did. I mean, you know, the point that I love is you're in service of helping people be in service of themselves, and you've given them a blueprint to do that. I would love to know your personal message, Judy, and what you'd like to leave folks with today.
Absolutely. There's no such thing as a train wreck. You're a remarkable life. You simply have to know how to see it.
I love it. Look, book is available pretty much anywhere. And I want to just say, those of you that are still sending me questions, go to Judy's website. There's a way for you to contact Judy directly. And by the way, once you go through the book, just like I did, and you see, there are a lot of things in here that help. But I want to just say this last thing. You hear us talk about unlimited possibilities. My company is named Unlimited Possibilities Now. Chapter 10 in her book talks about, and I didn't think about it till I read it, portals of possibility. Get the book. If you do nothing else, read this chapter. Thank you, Judy, for so much. Thank you for everything you're doing. And man, I hope I can get down to Disney.
I would love to see you. I will looking for you on my list.
Oh, that would be so. I'm gonna take Linda with me, maybe Jessica too.
Go
Judy,
for it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for putting what seems to be so complex and unachievable for people in a way that, one, you can understand it, two, you can take some action, and three, you can transform. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. I told you this was going to be fun.
I love it. Let's take a short break, everyone. Jacob, thank you so much. Push it all the right buttons. We're not going anywhere. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.